You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Wow, guys, I'm really sorry. I know I'm apologizing a lot, but unfortunately this one has some weird glitches. I got a new mixing board, and, well, the first two were before the mixing board, and now this one is after the mixing board, and I'm learning. I apologize. However, this is a good episode, and I think I fixed the audio as best as I could. But it's funny. This is good. We're talking about a classic Brendan Fraser movie, George of the Jungle. I hope you enjoy it. I just wanted to let you know up front. I'll still get emails, but whatever. So, I hope you've been coming out to Cineprov. You've been missing a lot if you haven't. But tune in to Myopia, and I will tell you when I am doing another Cineprov. If you are around the Atlanta area, I will probably be performing at Kennesaw's OwlCon. With Evan from Cineprov doing a kind of a live action Myopia thing. And yeah, if you like what we do here, Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, Myopia Pod at Twitter. And hope to see you guys soon. Enjoy.
Temporal anomaly detected on Earth 2017. Is it the Doctor? No, it is a human using the number 42. They have the ultimate answer. They are having civil discussions about television, film, comics, books, and video games. Where is the fan rage? This is a threat to the Daleks. We must exterminate them. Humans must be hostile to each other so that the Daleks may rule supreme. Exterminate! Exterminate!
The 42 cast. Bad for Daleks, good for humanity.
This week we watched 1990-something, 7, I think. George of the Jungle, Brendan Fraser's Last Gasp. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defender Childhood, and I'm from Cineprov, and on panel we have...
Kelsey!
Abnormal.
Matt.
I'd like to welcome you two. It's been a while.
It has been a little bit. Yeah, I'm not that Matt. I'm jovial.
So, George of the Jungle, had any of you seen this before?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think I had, and then the second I saw the woman who was starring in it, and I don't know the actress's name, but I was like, oh God, I've seen this.
Part of it in a children's doctor's office once.
Here's a problem. I love you all. None of you know actors and actresses.
No, I do not.
This is why I just need to have, like, a steady cam on Jeremy just going,
make your own.
But I think it's Lisa Mann is in this movie.
Oh, Leslie Mann.
Thank you. Leslie Mann and Brendan Fraser.
I got that one.
I got that one.
Ape, got it. Check.
Yep.
And Thomas Hayden Church.
And Tookie, who clearly was the hero of the movie.
Really
also,
carried the show,
best yeah. actor, yeah. He had it down.
I'm going to guess Tookie was voiced by...
Did Tookie even talk?
I mean, you can train a Tookie at all you want, but...
Can we go look up the credit, the voice acting credit for Tookie?
There was also that guy that's the dumb villain in, like, a bunch of 90s movies. He was one of the dumb villains.
Abraham...
Sure.
Who's Thor. The big fat guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thor.
I also need Jeremy to look at me and tell me I'm wrong all the time.
And who was the guy that was basically Eric Trump?
That's Thomas Hayden Church.
We named three Eric Trumps.
But the other two were,
a real
like,
thing
only
for the
in,
Trump
like,
kid.
The scene at the end.
Oh, with all the other Eric Trumps.
Basically.
Yeah. Which people?
That was Spencer Garrett and John Pinnell. Not the fat guy who died. That's someone else. But yeah, so we have, I love this movie. This was a Nick pick. I thought this movie was really funny when I was a kid. Up through, I think I last saw it maybe 10 years ago. No, longer than that. I maybe saw this in ninth grade. So 2 years after it came out, so like this is 19 years ago. 18 years ago.
Does that mean you're defending it?
Yeah, why not? I mean, in the way that we don't really do it anymore, but I love this movie, so why not?
So we all get to yell at you for making us watch it.
Well, I didn't think it was like
yelling. I mean, like I saw it in the theaters when it came out, and like I remember really liking it, and this time I was like, like it's not a favorite, but it's not like horrible.
None of us remembered the opening animation.
Yeah, no, that was not expected at all.
That was a highlight. That was some good work. Opening animation.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, and it actually reminded me of the Hanna-Barbera or whatever it was, the cartoon that they actually did, which was really shitty.
Like, they had a George of the Jungle cartoon?
That's what this is based on, actually.
The narrator did a good job of making it feel that way.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Narrator MVP. What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, narrator did do it.
Yeah, the narrator was, sorry, Tuki, the narrator.
Really carried the story.
And this is kind of all he does. He has, like, 39 credits, and he's always narrator or voice actor. He also did, I guess, a Stay Tuned movie, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, which is the same animation studio, but I don't know if you saw that, but it stars Boris and Natasha are played by, like, Jason Alexander from...
I saw that.
Yeah. This is and Rene Russo.
Oh, it's like half live action, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He has such a narrator voice, though. Like, I feel like he just needs to be in that role.
I just kept yelling Moose and Squirrel in the theater when I saw it. It was not good.
Thomas Herman was a big fan of that, right? If I recall.
Yeah, I think he's the one who wants me to do this. Yeah. I guess tune into ESO Network's Geekly Oddcast now as the network picked it up. So.
His wife likes Bedknob and Broomsticks, so they're not really doing well. Yeah, the movies.
I mean, we did Bedknobs and Broomsticks. That movie was, that was rough.
I was there. I was the one on the podcast yelling, this movie was terrible. What are you guys talking about?
I think I got drunk and fell asleep halfway through the podcast.
It's okay, you woke up and had about 4 hours left.
The soccer scene goes on for 2 hours.
We only fell asleep during the dance scene, and then woke up and the dance scene was still going.
Someone asked us if, like, after we were featured, like, I got all these emails, like, you should do Mary Poppins. I'm like, man, I can't do animated shit where people dance with, like...
Give us a year.
We'll be stuck on that.
We have to recover.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Like,
we did the director's cut, so it was, like, 3.5 hours long.
Oh, my God. I was like, I don't even remember the song, but, like, it wasn't in the original. I'm like, you gave us a different version.
Then they all cackled with their nostalgia and then agreed that it was all a great movie. And I love Angela Lansbury, so
this is like a serious,
serious
tangent we've gone off on, by the way.
Well, it's fine.
It'll all be edited out.
To your point, the editor is bored now. To your point, this movie, you thought the third act was slow on this. This is a tight 90 minutes.
I had mentioned to Jeremy, I kind of laughed. I said, like, there was a fake ending about 60 minutes into the movie, and I was like, you know what? I wouldn't have been too upset if it ended at the fake ending. Like, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
It was very anticlimactic, and I probably would have rather that than the last half hour of the movie.
The number of, like, shirtless Brendan Fraser scenes went downhill sharply after that point, so I agree.
I will say, the joke of where he's, like, trying to wrangle the horses and he looks like Fabio.
He looks like Fabio when he gets to San Francisco and doesn't stop.
And all the dudes are like, what is it with women and the horses? And I'm like,
was that a joke that I missed?
Yes. I was laughing very loudly.
Is that a Fabio joke thing?
No, it was the fact that they missed the fact that he looked good.
Oh, okay.
The women were all ogling him.
Like 10 women. All talking about his sensual intelligence.
Sensual intelligence, yes.
He was rippling. Stay tuned for Brendan Fraser and Dudley Do-Right as well.
Props to his two personal trainers for this movie.
He was looking good.
He was.
He was looking good.
He was looking real.
That's why
good.
I took two people.
One for each gun.
I was going to say leg days and arm days. Did anyone of you want to try to give us a plot synopsis?
I would be happy to.
Please, Matt.
Yes.
So, we open the movie with our lovely short animated sequence that really doesn't tell us very much other than there's a small boy who's coming to his age.
The plane crash.
I wasn't in it.
Well, no, that's... Okay, never mind.
Was the plane crash part of the animated?
That was
the
beginning.
Oh, I totally missed that. Okay.
Smash cut.
Well, ignore all of that. We open the movie where the main actress lady...
Leslie Mann.
Leslie... What's the actual character name?
Ursula.
Ursula.
According to the theme song for George in the Jungle, there are actually two ladies, Pamela and Ursula, but they cut out Pamela because in the 90s, Pamela got a bad rap.
Was it like an odd love triangle thing?
They didn't play as prominent of a role in the actual cartoon.
Say odd. There would be lots of women all over this man.
It probably would be. Okay, so she arrives.
They could tame them.
She arrives in the jungle for some sort of
like tames horses. Sorry.
Safari expedition. I'm really struggling already to make it through this. I'm like,
okay.
So there she arrives, safari expedition. Her awful, terrible fiance shows up out of nowhere. He is completely uncharismatic and the most awful, least likable character that you could probably make for this role. I mean, he was terrible, both in his acting and what they wanted him to be, which was terrible. So he shows up. They venture into the jungle. They find some lions, and George kind of, I guess, defeats the lions somewhat, rescues her, and then they go to San Francisco and get married.
Fine.
Okay.
All right, so let's get through this. This is the most Disney kids movie ever. I mean,
probably.
Essentially in the 90s, there were two kinds of Disney movies. There were the precocious kid movies, and then there were adults acting silly movies, and this is the latter. This is George, who's a man child, like Matt mentioned, who crashed in the forest, or the jungles of Africa, question mark?
It's on the map.
The jungles of Southern California. And essentially rescues her, like you said.
Yeah.
So other than the raw sensuality of Brendan Fraser's man-child.
But, like, I love how in the scene with the lion, like, the fiancé doesn't actually, like, see her being taken. He just finds her scrunchy. Like, that is the most 90s thing ever.
Oh, my God. If this was, like, a Shakespeare, like, it would be the same thing. Like, with thy scrunchy. Like, it is. And he, like, holds it up, and it takes two hands. It's so large. It could be off of Mary-Kate or Ashley Olsen.
She's a wide selection of scrunchies, including a formal scrunchie at one point. Yes. So.
But the thing is, unfortunately, it was made in 1997. If it was made now and it was a period piece in 1997, she would have opened, like, a jewelry case filled with scrunchies because she would have had an engagement scrunchie that was diamond encrusted.
Like Swarovski crystals.
So George, in a very cliched way, which luckily the narrator calls out, because this cartoon is very 1960s, so it is very misogynistic, so they even reference gender norms, which is kind of a funny joke for 1997.
They did call them being conservative for not letting him wear a dress.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is only a year after the, not that there's anything wrong with that, gay episode of Seinfeld. Like, that's how, like, in the context, like, this is, like, that's pretty good.
Radical.
No, that would be 1989 and Donatello.
Sorry.
No. Oh, I like recording like this. We have this, I don't even know how to put this. How did you think Brendan Fraser did?
Amazing. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he really committed to his role.
There were a couple times where his sentences made too much sense.
Yeah, that was one of my...
Yeah, his vocabulary was a little big. But then, I mean, if you look at the monkey that, like, raised him, like, that monkey had a big vocabulary, so...
So we just confirmed that he had brain damage, and that's why he couldn't always finish his sentences.
Well, probably from hitting the trees all the time.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I guess my thought was kind of what you were thinking, Abby. It's that it's a joke. It should play once. Like, he should have one profound... It's the Jay and Silent Bob thing, where Silent Bob gets one actually coherent speech the whole time. That would have been funnier, but every so often he just speaks like Brendan Fraser, which is kind of mentally disabled, but not fully.
The main offending scene was when they were, like, having the touching moment at the odd George treehouse structure, and he was, like, speaking in complete full ideas throughout that entire scene, and then went back to being like, oh, bananas and stuff.
Yeah. I know you were down on this. I think that's more script. I mean,
it probably was, because they needed to, like, convey emotion in that scene. Yeah. But
I think he was so good. I find him so charming.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like this movie and don't ever want to see it again, you should just get a clip show of Brendan Fraser in a loincloth for, like, an hour.
Just smacking into your screen?
Yes.
Just crush first?
Yes. Because the mom didn't get to remove his reason for wearing a loincloth.
I just want, like, the clip of him running with the horses to Enya. Just na 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 na. like a Delta commercial or something.
They straightened his hair for those scenes. Like he went to civilization, his hair got straight, and he was Fabio.
Yeah.
Stop trying.
Ladies, that was not a wig either. That looked good.
So Nick tells me, he's like, oh, do you think his hair is real? Well, we're watching the movie.
I'm just like, yeah, man.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm almost 100% sure that was not a wig. My wig dye was not going off.
No, I mean, the fact that that was your realization watching that scene.
Oh, no, I just thought he looked good because anything could have ruined it. He didn't. I think he looked great.
He didn't ruin this movie, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, no, the aesthetics of his character did not ruin the movie.
Okay. All right. He was good with what he was handed.
He's this close to being Spider-Man in the second act, though. He's just swinging through shit. They literally could have had him find a vine in the middle of San Francisco to rescue her at one point.
They should have. That actually
would have been a good gag. And he goes, not here. And then the narrator said, not here, buddy. And then it just disappears and he's on like a carriage or something.
They did manage to get in the bridge swing.
They did.
Yeah, but, that was, yeah.
But you forget how long this movie is it's literally 92 minutes. Because then they end up back in the jungle somehow. I mean, to your point, it goes on a smidge too long.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about people, what did you think of her? Leslie Mann's character, Ursula. Nothing?
I thought she was pretty nothing.
Yeah, she was kind of bland. I feel like they could have replaced her with a couple different actresses and it wouldn't have made a difference. Yeah.
I feel like they could have given her lines or like, you know.
I mean, other than just being slightly amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one point where I was like, she's going to save herself in the rapids, and then that didn't happen. And I was like, all right, this is normal.
What I almost wanted was her friend, Betsy, to be more of like a sex pot, because they had that joke, but then for her to stand up for herself to fight her off of George, like, because she doesn't, like, she just kind of falls into everything. She falls into George falling in love with her. Well, you're right, she has no agency, but like,
other people tell her she's in love with him. Lyle just kind of disappears and accidentally marries a monkey.
And then joins a cult?
Excuse me, ape.
Well, he just wanted to become a minister.
Well, I mean, that was basically a group of Nazis.
Well,
he was leader of the Nazis.
And if it were, like, if it were 2010 when this movie was made, he would have just signed up for an online minister.
Fair.
Right.
Fair.
I mean, that was the gag. Because essentially at one point he just pulls off his regular collar and has a Roman collar underneath. So, like, I'm a minister now, so. It's like a drunk history story we're telling, but he's like, so I'm a minister now, so we're going to be married now.
Married, right? Yeah.
And that's the plot.
No. But, I mean, it would have been a very 90s B-plot for Betsy to be fighting her for George, but at least then she could have been the one to say, no, I'm the one in love with him, because otherwise she's just like, whoops, I guess we're getting married.
Like,
she doesn't seem to realize it until the parents are like, you're in love with him, and she's like, oh, yeah, I guess I am. And it's like, so she doesn't seem to know unless people point things out for her.
Yeah, and she plays that ditzy card all the way through, to the point where, like,
except for when she's making fun of Lyle.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
The one time that, I was going to say the one time any woman, but the one time my wife is the most confident is when she's insulting me, so.
But then how did she end up engaged to the point that he was following her?
That is something that is baffling, because whenever she sees him, she's like, oh, you're here, huh? I was not thinking about
that. That's a pretty gaping plot hole, almost, like, how did they get here?
Until
they introduce her mom. And we've already seen her lack of agency, and then we're like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
She has never made a decision in her life.
Yep.
I don't understand why, like, to your point, she ended up in the jungle because she wanted to leave the continent her husband or fiancé was on.
Yeah. She's clearly getting away. So
it should kind of be like a red flag. Like, maybe you shouldn't get married if you're going to try to, like, flee your fiancé.
I will say, too, I liked how every group of people was kind of a comedy group. Like, the Shaft and then the three other, you know, like, the guides.
Yeah.
They were great. Thor and Max, the two heavies, were great.
The scene with the camera with all the guys was really cool.
Yeah.
It's all about Plum's Maiden Church, Lyle Vandergooch, who is unable to function outside of his white privilege, which is actually kind of the greatest. Like, that's probably the greatest comedic thing that would never exist in a 1960s cartoon.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Don't forget the ape band.
I was upset that there was not an ape singing. They were playing instruments.
Yes, they needed to have an ape singer.
I diegetic sound when the sound is in universe. It could have been a fully diegetic, like, little ensemble.
It could have been the main ape. John Cleese.
I know, it should have been.
I think his name was Ape.
His name was Ape. That's from the cartoon, too, which is a shame. But, you know, at the end, he is a singer, so why the fuck not? Like, this is so good.
He sings at the end.
Yeah.
Really.
Missed
they drop the ball, yeah.
And he sings My Way because that's what people sing in Vegas, apparently.
They should have, they should have had him sing, because then that would explain, like, the little thing at the end. Yeah, instead it's just like, oh, all of a sudden I can sing.
So this movie, the fourth act, there's four acts, this is a weird movie, but they go to the jungle, and like you said, George saves Ursula, he takes her back to the cabin thing, the weird treehouse guy, and they get there, they try to rescue her back, but that's when the bad guys of Thor and Kip, or whatever his name is, Thor and Max, see the talking ape, and they decide that that's what they want to do.
Yes.
At that last minute, Tom Sainchurch, trying to save Ursula from George, shoots George in the face with what he thinks is a lighter, but is actually a gun.
Which, why would he be defending himself with a lighter? That was one of the issues I had. Like, he wouldn't be trying. He knows.
No, he stated that he wanted to scare him.
Yeah, he explained that he, like, that George wouldn't know that it was a lighter, and so it would scare him.
But he knows, like, where is his concept of guns coming from?
I don't know.
You thought way too hard on this.
I guess I did.
He's not. There are large, unexplainable gaps and, like, actual sections of...
Also, I feel like his lighter would have felt much cheaper than an actual little, like, Derringer.
You have to understand that Thomas Hayden Church's whole idea of Africa comes from the Jungle Book, and he thinks that George is afraid of man's red fire.
True.
Ruby-doo.
There is some, like, witchcraft mentioned with the juju.
The juju, yeah.
And I wanted that to go further. I wanted George to be witchcraft.
Oh my god, if there was a third act, like, voodoo doctor or something...
I would have.
I mean, come on.
That would have been great.
Come on.
A lot of the strength of this movie for kids was the physical comedy. I mean, there was a point where the dog elephant had a giant milk bone. The narrator and the physical comedy, because the narrator kept making things disappear and reappear. And then there was the whole, like, final climax fight was just one thing after another.
Yeah, the movie, well, the George of the Jungle theme song even has him slamming into a tree midway through. And Brendan Fraser is actually really funny as a physical comedian.
Yeah, he did a good job. Some of it was kind of, I guess, tired by the end.
Sure.
He committed. Like, he was not, he gave it his all. And
yeah, I mean, like to your point, it wasn't his fault that they used the same joke six times, because he committed each time. Like, you can't do anything about the director.
No.
After he gets shot, they end up in San Francisco, and this is where you have the fish out of water, you know, the same thing you see in Thor, the same thing you see in whatever, like, just...
Tarzan. What was the one that I referenced when we were down there?
I have no idea.
Clever reference.
No, not Coyote. Crocodile Dundee.
There's Crocodile Dundee. Yes. Yeah, this is very Crocodile Dundee. And to Matt's point, there are funny bits in all of these, but this scene is another scene after another scene where it's kind of the same joke.
Yeah, once you hit San Francisco, I was like, this didn't need to be this.
Yeah. And, like, wasn't the whole point of her taking him to San Francisco because he needed medical
and
treatment?
And he was fine.
They never saw a doctor or anything.
Yeah. America.
I was going to say medical treatment in quotes. You're just like, hey, come with me. I don't want my husband.
Fair. I mean, that.
We'll get you some medical treatment.
I mean, I was also going to say, too, I think Disney was not fully behind this movie. If only because they got the Bay Bridge instead of the Golden Gate. Like, that's your lesser San Francisco bridge.
I feel like having a stuntman walk on the Bay Bridge is a much easier feat than getting the licensing and rights for
that.
That's what I mean, though. Like, it's cheaper.
But then I feel like if you weren't familiar with that area, would you even recognize the Bay Bridge? You'd probably, like,
it wasn't red.
Yeah, like, what the heck is that?
No, I know. The fact that I knew what it was tells me that no one else did. Like, right?
Yeah.
It was not the Golden Gate. The Golden Gate you can see from a cartoon. I've seen Full House. But whatever. At this point, there's an engagement party, which is kind of entertaining. This is where we see him without a shirt on. And this is where you remember Thomas Hayden Church is kind of in like a cameo role. He's barely in this movie because he's in the beginning. Then he ends up in jail for shooting George and attempting to poach elephants.
I feel like if they include him in the movie anymore, like, he's such an unlikable character. Like, yeah. It would be hard to have a real scene with him as a vulnerable boy.
Well, and again, the comedy is best when it comes from George being a fish out of water as opposed to dealing with this asshole, because that's a really hard thing to kind of convey in a non-crazy way.
To give them some credit, they did turn it on its head. He was a fish in water in San Francisco for a bit.
Yeah, he was doing better than she was.
Yeah.
And George looks good in Armani. Pretty darn good.
So good. And he agrees.
There's a lot of meta kind of fourth wall breaking where he just looks at the camera and we're okay with it.
Yeah, they did a fine job with it. Yeah. It wasn't...
That was the best.
Ladies.
Yes.
It was so good.
If you can't tell, I'm a Brendan Fraser fan, and I appreciate his two trainers.
We were all upset that he had not been in more. And I mean, this is the second movie of his we've done, which is, you realize it's kind of slim pickings considering how few, like, I don't know, Michael Caine movies we've done, right? But we might go back to, like, some of these Mummy movies or whatever later, because, God, he's fun. He's really the best thing in anything.
Yeah, he was really fun.
Bedazzled.
We did Bedazzled, too, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
It's 154 episodes in.
Oh, God. I can't remember them all.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have watched it otherwise, but it was... Like, we wouldn't have just gone out of our way to see it, I don't think.
I mean, I guess you underestimate my Brendan Fraser fan.
Sure. I mean, and we have, what is that, Blast from the Past that he's in, too?
Oh, yeah, he's in that.
Let's see. I think we did do it, though.
Ringing endorsement?
No.
He is in that.
Oh, yeah. He's in that.
He's in that.
Oh, man. Anyway, so after this injury, or I guess after this wedding party, the mom convinces him that he's not wanted, that George is not wanted.
She threatens him.
Well, I mean, she threatens him significantly, fine. Well, God, we also did all these movies, Jesus Christ. So he goes back to Africa because at this point, Thor and Max have kidnapped Ape.
Yes.
The ape, big ape. Abby defended Bedazzled.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we definitely did that movie.
With Matt, Abby, and Daniel. and Madison on panel. So
that happened.
That was released a year in January. A year ago in January.
Oh, well, that explains a few things. I was busy.
January 12th, 2017.
Wow.
But, yeah. So, at this point, we get back to Africa. Where George hears from Tuki, that he has to rescue Ape and being shipped by UPS.
Specifically.
Product placement.
That, that's pretty much it. Like, he arrives and puts on some Nike Airs.
There we go.
Some Air Jordans, I guess, or whatever. And then
I was hoping it'd be the pump-up ones.
That would have been so awesome.
Like, made for good scene.
One of the Austin Powers gag where he pumps them up so much they explode in his face.
I mean, not quite, but...
Kind of. And, so he runs across the open desert because whatever, and we end up in kind of this end fight scene.
Yeah, which was really, like, I don't know, it was kind of anticlimactic, like, because they had all the apes in, like, the karate uniforms.
Which we don't see.
Which we don't see.
We don't see anything happen. It's just like, okay, yay, it's over, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Because they needed that 5-minute physical comedy,
nothing.
Yeah.
We need a
lot of Brendan Fraser fight. Yeah.
To be fair, I think a choreographed fight with like karate apes.
Oh, I wanted that.
Difficult to pull off.
I wanted that though.
They had
Jim Henson.
Yes.
They would have been fine.
So there's a movie that came out last year, which I recommend, which is going to sound stupid, but Captain Underpants. I don't know if you saw it. It's on Netflix.
I did not see it.
I read all the books. I did. Is it as good?
It is, and they have a reference to the end fight scene with, like, guys, this is way too much, so I've redone this in Flip-O-Vision, and so they scripted it out into, like, a flip book, and they just show them fighting, and they add extra, like, that's kind of what you want, where you don't need it, but if it had gone back to the cartoon for 2 seconds, and it just, but that's what you need. You need something, because it's just like, and then the fight happened, I guess you guys went for popcorn, and you missed it.
Whatever.
It all wraps up. They have a jungle wedding, and it turns into a Lion King wedding followed by a Lion King stinger.
I don't know.
I really like this movie. I will say, though, I mean, you're right. Like, there were times where I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go get myself another beer.
I wish they never left the country. Like, if they would have stayed in Africa the whole movie and, like, her parents had visited or something, we could have cut out that whole trip. I would have been fine with that.
But Betsy.
But, like,
Betsy, how... Betsy could have come. I don't care.
How could they have found them?
I don't know. I mean, they'd have to work out those details. I don't write movies, but, like...
Jeremy, work out those details.
I mean, or just not going back to Africa. Like, if the climax had been, like, he can rescue people, too, and he rescues the parachutist...
There was one too many transatlantic or trans-Pacific plane flights in that movie.
That lasted exactly 1 second.
I'm just saying
They were so fast.
We didn't see the plane flights, but we didn't need to travel to so many locations.
Tookie didn't get on a plane, and he made it.
Oh, I mean, Tookie's a hero.
He came in a UPS box. He saved the day.
You know, there's a joke that they should have done, which is just he walks past Fabio and he goes, nice shirt. He just...
Or Crocodile Dundee.
Billboard of him or something.
Like, if this had been the Critic cartoon show, like, if it had been, like, a modern adaptation, like, that's what it would have been. It would have just been, like, he shoves the guy out of the way, like, he's like, that's not a knife. This is a banana. Like, just...
They did say Tarzan wannabe at one point.
He did. She calls him a Tarzan wannabe when she's... To your point, though, she plays so in love with him right away, like, and she needs another... Well, yeah, but, I mean, and she needs another adult to tell her that, but she goes, I've just been kidnapped by this Tarzan wannabe, and he's like, oh, my God. And, like, and she's just like, woman, you can have a line. You're an adult.
Like, she's not even, she just kind of goes with it right away. She doesn't, like, fight back, like, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like I would be like, excuse me, like, what?
To be fair, she was really freaked out.
She does fight off Lyle at one point and goes, oh, no, and then Lyle gets a hold of her again.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a wet fart of a finale, though, because they're on this raft for no reason, and there's
Where did the raft come from?
Where did the raft come from?
And then the rapids just turned into nothing. And then, like, they're just like, I have to rescue you.
I was hoping for a waterfall. Like, this needed a waterfall.
Yes!
Although, they did have a waterfall, and that's when Tarzan slammed into the tree to save her.
No, there was no
waterfall. Yeah, no! It looked like there was going to be, but then there wasn't.
Then just wanted to
pay. Yeah, it was so disappointing. But I guess it's because no one dies in this movie. They just get really big boo-boos.
I mean, there have been
scenes that were backed out in, like, a giant, with, like, a band-aid over his head and a sad
expression. There were plenty of other scenes in this movie that were clearly fatal, that were explained away. I would have been fine with, like, a big waterfall death.
I think it was Kwame who's just frowning after falling off a bridge and just like...
A really tall bridge.
Very tall.
That was a canyon.
Yeah, that was definitely fatal, and he's just very upset afterwards.
I mean, even
like a Disney movie.
Like a 22, like a close-range bullet wound. Like, we got none of that.
No. He has just a slightly larger bandage on his forehead.
Yeah, it's just like a bandage with like a little red spot. That's it.
The wrestling man is just like carefully parting his hair out of the way to make sure, like...
I mean,
we've talked long enough about this. Why don't we wrap it up? Kelsey's final thoughts.
So it wasn't as good as I remember it, but it was cute for the 90s, and Tookie was the hero.
Abby?
I think this goes on my list of movies that I would put on in the background when people were over and everybody would be entertained at multiple points. I feel like they either needed to embrace the fact that it was the cartoon more or something. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was enjoyable mostly because of Brendan Fraser and his two trainers. But there were parts where we were all laughing. Like, it was an enjoyable movie. Obviously, main character has no agency, or main female character protagonist has no agency, and it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. So That was disappointing. But it was, you know, I'd watch it again with more alcohol.
Matt?
There were definitely some bits, and people have already said this, but that were like definitely legitimately humorous. Like there was some good comedy writing here, and there were some that were not. But overall, it was a fun movie. I really think that a large swath could have been axed, but like, yeah, that's fine. It dragged a bit, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Mixed bag, says Perini. I agree. I think it was just stupid, silly, throwaway humor. I was actually surprised at how funny it still was.
Yeah, and John Cleese, like, no one else could have been that ape.
Yeah. Yes, that was perfect.
Yeah. He really saved Ape. The dog elephant CGI actually wasn't that bad after we all got used to it.
No, it wasn't.
And thanks, Jim Henson.
Frankly, the sets were worse than the CGI. You know, it was very clearly kind of like some place in Southern California on like a Paramount like lot or something. Like it just, whatever, it was fine. I liked this movie. I thought it was still funny. And frankly, I guess to Abby's point, it's kind of like a lazy afternoon watch where you don't really want to pay attention, but like they tee up jokes so hard that you can be like, all right, something's about to actually happen. So you watch for 5 minutes, you can kind of zone out and eat your pizza or whatever. You know, it's like a hangover movie. It's a chill out movie. I was just surprised it held up as well as it did.
That you definitely have to give it credit for that. It could have been a complete dumpster fire, and it was not.
Yes, for a 21-year-old B-level Disney movie.
With lots of physical comedy.
Yeah, I mean, filled with references to 1997, it was okay.
And urine.
And you're and piss jokes. There's a lot more piss jokes than fart jokes. I mean,
there were callbacks to piss jokes.
There were callbacks to piss jokes. Chekhov's pee joke. I thought it was fine. You know, for a movie that they didn't really advertise, it wasn't one of their big corner. This is when Disney was putting out like 12 movies a year. So, you know, whatever. I enjoyed it. If you could find it, I ended up with a $2 DVD of it. So, you know, if you can find it, watch it. It's great. Brendan Fraser needs more movies. Please hire him for everything.
I love you, Brendan Fraser.
Right? He still looks good. We were pulling him up. Daniel thinks he looks like him. He's wrong. So, hint for next time. The next episode will release to correspond with a new movie. We don't do this very often, but we tried it again. I'll give you a hint. This one corresponds with a video game also. So tune in next week and every future week as we put a piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defender Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Good Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Bird. The theme song is Caroline by The Serenaders, and their music is available on Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks! Swing and sing, all the animals come to the jungle king.